Welcome, everyone, to the Callings Radio Show to all the dreamers. I'm your radio host, Dr. Cassandra Brunson. It is such an honor to be with all of you today. You know, at The Calling, we have realized that so many people are afraid to go after Jesus's calling on their lives because they are afraid to fail. And that is just plain wrong, because if God has given us a dream and we're not living it out, we are wasting it, and we do not want you or anyone else to die with regret. That's why at The Calling, we love to inspire, empower, and equip people to after God's calling on their lives to reap the best kind of eternal legacy possible, to have immediate impact on themselves and their families. And we love to do this through so many different avenues, through custom tools and programs, workshops, seminars, but especially through this radio show, where we get to bring on world-renowned guests to share how they're going after their God-given dreams and how you can do the same. Today is no exception. We are thrilled to have in studio live the one and only Brian Cedarwall. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I don't know about world renown, but I've been told that I'm a legend in my own mind.
Oh, hundreds of thousands of minds, Brian, if not millions. You really are such a legacy maker and builder, and we're just so honored to have you, Brian. And just before coming in studio, just it's such a busy time. I think every time of the year is busy, but even more so for you. It's like times 10 during this time. And a lot of people have known your name, Brian, but can you just share the leadership positions that you have held and that you are currently leading right now?
Yeah, I went to Bible college, had this calling since I was 12. I just wanted to share Jesus, but I was a youth pastor in Florida. Left Florida, was in L.A. for about 8 years, was youth pastor, associate pastor, started a nonprofit, but moved to Denver. Actually, yesterday was 19 years ago. So I'm sort of the, I guess for titles, I'm the founder and the CEO of Denver Dream Center. 19 years.
Did you guys hear that? The founder and CEO of the Denver Dream Center. And I know that you guys have heard of that, and it is one of my most favorite, it's just not an organization, but just a group of people and community, Brian, that you've been able to cultivate and lead has just been priceless. Will you just share real quick what you guys do?
Yeah. You know, if I can back up here a little bit of the story, because that really is the dream that sets the stage. I love telling people, 2005, I was in Denver for the Assemblies of God, had their district council. And I'd only been to Colorado one time in my life. But in 2005, it's one of those moments that man, just walking around the city, praying, and asking God what was next. We weren't looking to leave California, but there was a stirring. In 2005, I had started journaling about a Denver Dream Center. And a year into journaling, we had the opportunity to tell what I tell people, how to not start a ministry or plant a church. we told our church in July. We had a baby in August, sold our house in September, and we hit the road in October. So within 4 months, massive life changes. We had a two-year-old, a two-month-old. We didn't have a house to live in. We didn't have a job to actually take. But it was crazy faith. We drove out and got here November, so 19 years ago. And that set the foundation for a lot of years of grinding, serving, just being present and engaged to get to where we are now and to get to do what we do.
Wow. Well, I think, Brian, it's so powerful that you say that. And I just have to back up a little bit. Did I see just briefly that it was your birthday recently?
It might have happened to be my birthday yesterday.
Oh, well, happy, happy birthday. Thank you. And so you moved here on your birthday.
I did. I got here 2 days before my birthday, actually.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. Got 1 day to settle in. And then, my 32nd birthday.
Yes.
In Colorado.
That is so. So that's just like Jesus. And I love that you have all of a 2-month-old and then a 2-year-old and just seeing God's timing and all of that. Brian, what would you say when you're looking back on your life, what were some of the seeds that Jesus just started dropping into your heart when you were little and that he would be preparing you to do what you're doing today in leading the Denver Dream Center?
Yeah, you know what's interesting in that question is there are pivotal moments when I look back. You know, my parents were a huge part of that. They were school teachers, small town Illinois, but we always had either somebody living with us, staying with us, being tutored. My dad ran a youth Boy Scout program, always giving back, always serving. We never had a day off. my parents were like the overachievers of, we wake up, we get to go do something good. And so grew up with that mentality. And when I was 12 or 13, I started going to Chicago in the course of the summers. And I stayed with a good friend. His dad was the director of Teen Challenge, a rehab recovery program in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We started running programs called Chicago Outreach. So I found myself in places and spaces where now I've got people pouring into me. And I'm in environments where I just felt God began to nudge. And really what began to grow me was just a calling for those that were overlooked, hurting, hard, lost. And so that just began to grow. And then mm-hmm. I'm a huge sports guy. And just being out and finding those places. And so really just I think the culmination of a journey of whatever it can take to bring people to Jesus. And in California really was sort of shifting my thinking. There's some outdoor basketball courts that I love to be at. And mm-hmm. I was generally the only white guy there. And it was just relationships.
Yeah.
And culturally, I started spending time on the basketball courts and barbershops. I tell people, like, if I write a book one day, that's a chapter, right? The basketball courts and barbershops.
Yeah.
And just engaging culture and finding ways that I love Sunday morning church. Mm. But my calling really became Monday to Saturday. Mm. How do I get with people that maybe aren't ready to like sit and listen to a message or worship, which I love, mm-hmm. but they need somebody to go to sit at court with them and figure out custody and addiction and housing and where their next meal's coming from. And so mm-hmm. just all of those things kept moving together, piecing together. And that calling in 2005, a year of journaling. And then when we said yes, it was the greatest risk possible. You know, I've got people close to me asking, like, well, what are you doing for insurance? And how are you going to pay? And I'm like, I really don't know. Those are great questions. And I wish I would have had those answers.
Yeah.
But we just, radical faith, crazy trust.
Yes. And so, Brian, in this dream and this calling that the Lord was leading you to didn't just affect you of saying a wholehearted yes, but getting your family to rally behind it, especially your bride. What did that look like?
Yeah, no, it's this incredible gratitude of, I love to tell the story. My wife and I actually are the summer camp success story. I was the camp lifeguard and she was a camp counselor at Wheat State Camp in Kansas. And we're old enough that it was before technology. So like literally we had to write letters.
Yeah.
We had to write letters. there was no texting. There were no cell phones yet. Uh-huh. And if we called each other, it was a long distance, a calling card. But that really, like, you know, connected us. And really was around serving kids and being at a summer camp.
Mm.
But what we love to share with people now is our calling is so compatible,
yeah.
but so distinctly different.
Yeah.
Where I wake up in the morning and I cannot wait to get into the city. I can't wait to get with people. Can't wait to create some kind of chaos to do good for the kingdom.
Yeah.
She really is a homebody. She loves being a mom. Mm. She loves praying. She loves mm-hmm. one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And now we look back and we're so grateful that, like, in the midst of crazy and chaos, I come home and she's just like support and strong and praying and faithful. And so, 23 years of marriage, three boys. Oh. So the fact that she's had to raise three boys, that alone tells you what she's accomplished.
Yes. Well, we just honor her so much. And you guys have done so much for the kingdom and just changing the world within your nuclear family, but also throughout the globe. And we know that, Brian, just in this journey of any of us saying yes to what Jesus has called us to, we undoubtedly face these giants along the way, and the Lord wants us to go through them, but how do we do that? And we would love to know how you have done it and been able to persevere through the ups and downs, especially over 19 years of ministry, just 19 years in this one, but right. a whole lifetime.
Yeah, you know, I think what I've learned now, and I'll be honest, it's weird being that guy that can say, looking back, mm-hmm. but every decade brings different awareness, perspective, and wisdom. And now in this decade of 50s, which that's, again, weird to say out loud.
Well, you don't look like it. Your whole family is.
Well, what I've learned, number one, I tell people, long obedience in the same direction. I didn't create that, but whoever said it, I've stole it, and I've used it so much that I claim it as mine.
Mm-hmm.
But long obedience in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you just live... Right. And we have to be in the moment. Right. We can't be stressed about tomorrow because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We can't live off of the past.
Mm-hmm.
But long obedience in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back and I tell the story, oftentimes I say, like, if God would have told me, like, it took 10 years to grind and work and serve until I could stop my last part time job.
Mm-hmm.
And in my ego and probably I would say even arrogance getting here at 32, right? No job, no place to live, starting. Mm-hmm. I really thought a year, 2 years, we're going to build this great ministry. And it's going to be, we'll have a salary and insurance and all that stuff. 10 years is what it took. And so oftentimes people ask me like, well, what do I have to do to get to do what you do? Or how do we do this? I'm like, well, for the first 10 years, don't get paid. First 10 years, don't be known and serve like crazy and maybe. And most people are like, oh, 10 years. I don't think, I'm like, I would never have taken 10 years.
Yeah.
So knowing that God was just faithful. Mm-hmm. And I tell people crazy stories. Like our first year we were here, I was driving to go to a meeting and I was in Florida and California, so I hadn't been in cold weather driving for a while. And I had an old car.
Both coasts.
Oh, man, yeah. And I had an older car, so I'm driving my wife's car. She, a little bit newer, she had Bluetooth. And so I'm driving about 45 miles an hour. I look down. I couldn't figure out how to turn the Bluetooth off. When I look up, there was a big work truck had stopped, and I plowed into the back of it going 45 miles an hour. Total my wife's car, glass in my face, hands. I've got, you know, broken fingers and just I'm bleeding. EMT gets there. And they're trying to put me in an ambulance, send me to the hospital. All I can think of is I didn't have health insurance. And all I can think of is the cost of an ambulance ride, the ER room. So I'm like, do what you got to do here, but I'm not getting in your ambulance. And so we're in this, like, standoff. So finally they're
like, all of us feel that.
Man, so they do what they got to do. And then I have to, like, hitch a ride and somehow get home. And then my wife's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yes. She's like, you're an idiot. Why don't you go to the hospital? I'm like, I have insurance. And the next day I wake up, and then I'm trying to figure out how do we get taken care of? And I'd met a guy first couple months of living here that was a dentist. He's the only sort of doctor I knew. If I'd known you were a doctor, I would have called you. But I call him like, I've got this glass and I got these, like, can you put Novocaine on me and, like, get this glass out? And he actually thought it was a fun idea. So, I mean, sometimes you got to go with what you got, right? So, like, years of, there's days that just, honestly, they suck. Mm-hmm. There's days that, man, people don't like you. Mm-hmm. There's days that people don't get you. There's days that you don't know how you're going to pay bills or where the next moment. But you look back and you see God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And now at 19 years, I mean, we're still fighting some of the biggest fights we've ever had in the history of the Denver Dream Center. And we want to serve more people than we've ever served. Mm-hmm. And what causes me to have the ability to sleep at night is knowing that God's in control and long obedience in the same direction.
Oh, so good, Brian. We need to take a short break. But you guys, we are in studio live with Brian Cedarwall. You don't want to miss a second. We'll be right back. Hi, guys. This is Cassandra Brenson, host of To All the Dreamers. I am so happy to introduce personal training, nutritional guidance, and behavioral change coaching. Healthy, happy, and heavenly for your wellness, spirit, soul, and body. Contact Mimi Kroger at healthyhappyandheavenly.com.
Continue to grow in the calling God has for you through ORU Online. You can earn your degree without changing your busy schedule. 100% online and 100% on your time. Learn more today, oru.edu/calling.
We are back. Thank you for listening to All the Dreamers radio show. I'm your radio host, Dr. Cassandra Brenson, and we have the humbling honor having Brian Cedarwall in studio with us. And Brian, you were just grabbing our hearts. I think they were all just so touched and just feeling the agony of times where we do have to, the seasons of living out our dreams and calling. We have to walk through most likely very challenging times. And thank you for being so vulnerable and that you were able to trust the Lord and just encouraging us that long obedience in the same direction allows us to see God's faithfulness in time. Brian, tell us about some of these miracle stories that you have seen, just in living out, walking in obedience and having to know that you needed a miracle and seeing it come
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, every day, honestly, every day is a miracle. It really is.
Brian, that's how I feel.
It's like when people ask sometimes, like, I don't know. Outside of God being in control and working miracles, the right people, the right moments. But again, it's I think when you say yes, right? It's that extreme faith of not in my plan. If we just wait till we have it planned out and figured out, we're missing moments. And for me, the urgency, especially of who I feel God's called me coming to serve. I mean, it's life or death. It's addicts, it's inmates, mm-hmm. it's gang members, it's at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
And in those moments, I think every day still compel me, like, we have to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And our staff and team oftentimes ask, like, hey, like, let's focus on this, or when's enough enough? And I'm like, it's not, and yeah. it'll never be. Until yeah. Jesus comes back, there's people that need to hear the gospel. And so every day there's miracle moments.
You yeah. know,
what I have to share is, again, we said yes, we started.
Yeah.
Our first Adopt-A-Block was in response to, again, love.
Can you share what Adopt-A-Block
yeah,
is?
Yeah, Adopt-A-Block really started with that mentality of adopting a block, like ownership. Like, yeah. be consistent, stay present. Don't just come once.
Yeah.
Serve, give away, and leave, and tell stories about it, because that touched your heart as the person volunteering, but mm-hmm. it didn't change the community that we were serving in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a community, Westridge Housing Projects, close to Broncos Stadium here in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for anywhere to play basketball 19 years ago. I'm looking for outdoor courts and places. Coming from L.A., they're everywhere. Not so much in Denver.
And Brian, you're pretty tall.
I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I got a pretty good shot. So if any listeners want to like have a three-point
yeah.
contest,
right.
which every March I actually shoot free throws for 12 hours straight. To wow. raise money for the Dream Center.
Okay. Yes.
And then I can't use my arms for like 3 days. But I was in the neighborhood playing basketball, found these, like, I don't know, some junior high school kids, 14, 15-year-olds, and had some fun, played for a couple hours. The next day found out that one of those 15-year-olds was shot and killed in gang retaliation.
Mm.
And again, so those gripping moments of that was the last moment, that was the last conversation, what could have been or should have been different. And I didn't know anybody 19 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started knocking on doors. I'm knocking on the community. I'm knocking on Denver Housing Authority. And what's funny is I literally drove them crazy, because I would show up all the time and they would never give me an opportunity. And then talking to Renee, who was one of the directors later, I'm like, what was the breaking point? She's like, well, you just wouldn't leave. And so we had to give you something to do, right? So persistency, right? So how we're supposed to pray, how we keep showing up. And so that neighborhood started our first Adopt-A-Block. And I so remember praying that day on a Saturday morning. I didn't know what we were going to do, what it was going to look like. I let anybody show up. And we had like 9 volunteers. And I thought it was the greatest moment ever.
Aww.
9 volunteers. We went up, picked up trash. We did some stuff.
Yeah.
And then we prayed, and that was it.
Yeah.
But since that Adopt-A-Block in that neighborhood has been about 16 years,
mm-hmm.
We've missed maybe 4 Saturdays in 16 years. Because God's given us the ability to create what we call a permission slip for partnership. So mm-hmm. we provide services. We do good in that neighborhood. So the mm-hmm. Denver Housing and the city
mm-hmm.
loves us being there.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten to know the residents.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have multiple sites around the city. Every first and third Saturday, we just adopt the block.
Mm-hmm.
And this Saturday, we had Convoy of Hope sent out a semi-truck. We had groceries. We had, I think, around 250 volunteers. We had Denver Police Department and Public Safety. We had NFL Alumni Association. We're playing flag football so that there's relationships. And we gave out food and everything for free.
Oh my gosh. Well, I know, and you guys, the legacy, Brian, I just speak on your behalf of you and your leadership in Denver Dream Center. It's influenced the most unlikely and the biggest of leaders and the most lowly. And I think that's exactly what ministry is supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We say it this way too. Impact and influence, right?
Mm.
As followers of Jesus, we feel like we should be creating the greatest impact in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm a huge fan of praying, right? We all are. But prayer shouldn't only be in response to critical needs that we see on the news
mm-hmm.
or hear stories about. Prayer
mm-hmm.
should be a pattern in our life that already exists so that we're in preparation for meeting the needs of our city.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out in Denver in meeting with our mayor, police chief, I wanted to know who are the elected and appointed leaders, who's making the decisions for our tax dollars and services and needs.
Mm-hmm.
As I got to know them, I often asked them, like, what about the church? Like, mm-hmm. how does the church fit into this?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I would hear often, we don't go to the church. And there was a disconnect.
Yeah.
And so that became one of my callings of how do I bridge that gap?
Mm-hmm.
Faith community is amazing. We're the heart, we're the hands to get out and want to
mm-hmm.
serve.
Mm-hmm.
Needs exist like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now, again, that first Adopt-A-Block with 9 volunteers, fast forward, and this year we'll have around 25,000 volunteers. We will connect and serve about 100,000 people in the city and community of Denver.
Wow.
You started asking earlier, like, some of the things coming up. Like, we're in a season, right? We call it Hope for the Holidays.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, we kick it off.
Yeah.
And we go up till December 20th. And so we just did our Give and Go Long, our food drive on Saturday. And then we got multiple events coming up in December. A huge party we do for children of incarcerated parents, reconnecting them with their families and their dads. It is a life-changing moment. We have over 700 families on our adoption list. And that's not 700, that's 700 families. Every family has probably four kids. That's like 3,000 kids. Mm-hmm. And then December 20th, we'll take over Coors Field. And we call it the biggest Christmas party in the city of Denver. Last year, we had like 7,000 people show up, gave away 5,000 toys, 4,000 coats. Yeah. Whatever we get, we just give.
Well, I know that I've been able to be so blessed to be at some of these events, Brian, throughout the year. And it really is. It's like the best. It's the best of the best. And so we're going to get to that here in a little bit of how we can all participate and have that long-term mentality as well of how can I really serve in the long for the long term in the same direction. But it has been, you know, what would you share? It is such a special season for people tuning in. And I don't know, when you think of these holidays, like what can I get or like what am I missing out on? Maybe you're not going to have all your family and friends or these things that would normally come along. Why is serving so important? And what have you seen that do in other people's lives?
Yeah, I mean, the heartbeat of that really is Proverbs 11:25. And Proverbs 11:25 says, he who refreshes others is he himself refreshed. We see it modeled by the life of Jesus. Whoever wants to be first should be last. If you want to be in the lead, then just come serve. Mm-hmm. And also, you just nailed it. It impacts everybody. There's those that have the ability because they've been what we would say is successful. Their families are good. They're in a great place, right? Out of the overflow, they're able to give back. And then it's a reminder of like where the blessings come from.
Yeah.
But then we have a lot of people that they're limited. They're struggling and they need their own help. But what we find is when people give even out of necessity, sometimes out of abundance, but even out of necessity, that God is beyond faithful. And what he returns is that refreshing. Mm-hmm. There's never a time that we leave an adopt-a-block, a youth night, Christmas event, and you just see literally the word joy. Mm-hmm. It is pure joy in what God does in when he moves in people when we serve.
Oh, it's the best, and it's a new refining. We're all hearing this for this moment, and we can do something about it, not just sit on the sidelines, but be part of the story and be part of this dream and helping other people. Brian, we want to hear what's coming up next, these events and how to get in touch with you. First, we want to just share before coming to the end of our show. It goes by so quickly, but there's people tuning in and someone in particular. And they're like, oh, that's neat that you were able to go after your calling. Like, I just can't. I can't go after it. What would you tell them and why is it so important and why they can?
Yeah, again, when I share where we're at now, it seems like a crazy story. Mm-hmm. But every moment just starts with a simple yes. Everybody's yes looks different. It's the yes to be a great mom, a husband, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor. Could be a ministry, could be start a business, but it starts with a yes and then be faithful. And don't despise the day of small beginnings. It takes a while to see things begin to grow. But sometimes we sit on the sideline and we compare because we see what other people have or how good they are at speaking or leading or what resources. We feel like we're insufficient or insignificant. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, then we're building it on our own ability. But any great dream should actually scare you. And any God dream should be something that you can't reach by yourself.
Yes. I love that you said that, Brian. And I would just put extra, you know, just exclamation points behind that times a million. Because I don't think, you know, people don't emphasize that enough. So thank you for speaking that courage. Absolutely. Inside of our hearts. Brian, what's coming up next in this season? And how can we be a part?
So two things. One, we do this every day. And so it doesn't have to be a season or extra. So we want everybody to know, just show up. Like, don't complicate it. Don't feel like you have to have something figured out. It's so fun for your family. You can come by yourself, bring your small group, your church. We've had days where we've had as many as 800 volunteers show up at a time, and we plug them in and put them to use. Or just sometimes individuals show up and like, I've got time. There's so much from the single moms that we're supporting, kids, youth. We're in schools, neighborhoods, feeding the homeless Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for lunch, Thursday night for dinner. There's something every day.
Perfect.
But Sunday. So jump in.
Yeah.
But for the holidays specifically, it's a great time because a lot of us look back and we're so thankful that we get to be with family, getting gifts, giving gifts. But most people probably are in a place where my family's at. Like, I don't even know what to get people anymore. We have really what we need. It's about being together. But coming up November, December 13th and 14th is our what we call Christmas in the City. You can go to denverdreamcenter.org. Very simple. Our website, social medias, whatever you find. There's 700 plus families. And on top of that, we have another probably 200 that are on the waiting list that if spaces open up, they get added in. But here's what's fun about the Christmas in the City. It's not just buy toys and give them and hope they go to a good cause and you just pass by each other. You pick a time slot. You meet that family for an hour. And you decorate cookies. You make an ornament. You have hot chocolate. You get them the toys. You actually have a season to be with that family. Get to know their story. Take pictures. And then walk away and pray for that family. It's incredible. I mean, we bring in reindeer. We decorate the Dream Center to look like, you know, it's a Disney Christmas fun party. Right? So if you're a decorator, come down and help us make it look Christmassy. Bring a tree. Bring some lights.
Yes.
And then December 16th is our big party for children of incarcerated parents. And that's so powerful because every year there's guys that haven't seen their kids in 8, 10, sometimes 15 years. And they get the first time be a dad, see their kids, and it changes lives.
Ugh.
And then December 20th. Coors Field.
Yes.
And that
it's
is
so fun.
It's a free for all. It's crazy and it's Colorado. So you never know. Nine out of ten times the weather's perfect.
Yep.
And then the lines are around the block. And
right.
So you just sign up, volunteer, you serve cookies. We need more toys, coats, all that stuff. And it's all on the website.
Well, I know that I'm going to be at all of these, and I challenge everyone right now to pull over if you're driving in the car, if you're at your computer, go sign up, go to Denver Dream Center. Brian, what's the website that everyone goes to for you and for Denver Dream Center?
Yeah, everything's at denverdreamcenter.org.
Okay, perfect. And then, Brian, how does everyone find you?
Through the website.
Okay.
But they can also email me. It's just Pastor B. Everybody in the city calls me Pastor B.
Yes, Pastor B. And that's what I should be saying.
No,
but
you're fine. It's sort of become a fun part of who I am. But Pastor B at denverdc.org is my email. And that's a quick, easy way to get to me. All my information is on the website at denverdreamcenter.org.
Yep.
Or they can find us on Instagram and Facebook and just send us messages. Show up. Let us know what you need if we can help you.
Yep.
But if you want to come be a part of the journey, jump in.
We love it. Well, thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus and saying yes, Brian. Pastor B, we love and appreciate you and your family. And just challenge everyone, please, again, go sign up how you can serve. There's so many opportunities. It's the best gift that you can really give all of your loved ones and your heart. Till next time, dreamers, keep dreaming big.